Did you go there in the summer?
I did. It was amazing.
Did it make you feel like you were in a smart city?
I did. I felt like I was in a city that really cares about its people and the environment. And like, yeah. If anyone is going to win at being a smart city, it's probably going to be Stockholm.
Welcome to Talk Data to Me by Safe Software, the makers of FME.
Hi, everyone. I'm Tiana Warner. With me, I have Jennifer Luther Thomas. And today we are talking about smart cities. And by smart city, we mean one that uses technology to manage resources and make decisions. Examples are like traffic lanes that switch directions depending on the flow of cars, or streetlights that turn off when no one's there, or analyzing the flow of people so that you know where to put a new building. And then I also heard about smart garbage cans or rubbish bins.
Yeah, rubbish bins.
Or trash cans if you're American. So they only get picked up when they're full. Things like that. Oh,
that's a good one.
Yeah. So how it works is you set up the city so that you can gather data from a variety of digital sources. And I think much of that is going to be devices and sensors, aka the Internet of Things. Smartphones are another data source. So for example, a citizen can take a picture of something like graffiti with its geolocation and then upload that to a portal so that the city knows it needs to be fixed.
But the trouble is, once you've collected all of this data, you need something to be able to process that data.
Mm-hmm.
And then from that data, you need to be able to take action.
So you have all these data sources, you integrate all that data, get it all working together, and then you need to analyze it and derive intelligence and make decisions based on that real-time information that's coming in. So often I think we'll find apps and data portals are a part of a smart city solution.
This will start allowing sort of people and services to start responding to what's going on in the city. So this can help out with safety, making the city more convenient for people, efficiency.
I think in general, an improved quality of life is a big reason to do this. By getting that real-time information, you can offer better urban services. Like you said, safety, if you're actually monitoring law enforcement or automatically detecting what's happening on cameras, then you can respond better. Even remote sensing, drones, airplanes, satellites that take imagery and LiDAR, you can get a lot of information from that.
And a lot of data now is being made available and it's easy to get. So things like crime data, you can get all the census data normally off government websites, traffic.
A big reason for this is that two-way exchange of information between government and citizens. So if you've got both government and citizens contributing to some kind of data portal, then you can get community involvement in the decision-making process. And the government can be more informed about what's going on.
One of the things I've seen in few places is Waze. And we see a lot of government organizations or departments of transports and councils will partner up with Waze to share information. So some citizens will report things in through like the 311 or 511, but a lot of people will just report incidents through the app. So allowing the data to be shared between Waze and those other organizations means that they can make better decisions and respond faster to things.
Another reason to have a smart city is better urban planning and organization, because different departments and areas are all able to communicate with each other better.
And I think a lot of the machine learning stuff that we talked about a few podcasts ago will be a big thing with these smart cities, because they've got so much data coming in that they need to analyze. You couldn't hire a human to do all of that for you.
Yeah, the data is one step, but actually doing something with it and getting information is the other important part. So there are a few existing smart cities that are working quite nicely, like Dubai, Barcelona, Stockholm, and New York. Stockholm has the Green IT program, which aims to use technology to reduce their environmental impact. So this includes things like energy efficient buildings with automatic control of heating and cooling and lighting. It also involves efficient transportation, so gathering real-time traffic information, analyzing GPS information, and optimizing traffic flow, and then making GIS data available to everyone. The other part of that is the eStockholm platform, which is a massive shift to using e-services instead of paper.
Was Stockholm the one that made itself in Minecraft but got rid of all of the buildings to try and encourage people that play Minecraft to go and look and sort of redesign it?
Yes. They wanted like crowdsourced urban planning. So they put it all into Minecraft and then got the community and especially youths to give their input.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a pretty cool example of a two-way exchange there, because the government benefits and then people can also have a say in what their city ends up looking like.
Yeah.
And I know Canada is encouraging this too. Just a couple of weeks ago on November 23rd, Canada launched the Smart Cities Challenge. And so communities can develop proposals, and there's actually tens of millions of dollars of funding available to the winners.
So one of the examples that I found was the New Orleans Fire Department. So they started up a project where they wanted to get more people with fire alarms in their houses. So they basically set up a program, and then if anybody felt like they needed a fire alarm in the house, they could request one from the fire department. But what they were finding is that not that many people were actually requesting fire alarms. So what they wanted to do was make it better so that they could target people that were vulnerable and what type of homes that they thought likely didn't have smoke detectors. So they were able to look at the census data and combine some other data sets together and then come up with like a heat map of the city that showed areas that they thought needed to have more smoke detectors installed. So then they could target those areas with their campaign, and then they saw a lot more people requesting smoke detectors to put in their houses. In Kansas City, along their light rail, I think they've added computer-equipped sensors on the streetlights so that what they're starting to do is collect a lot of information about traffic, whether that's car traffic or foot traffic and street parking. So they can start to see where it's busy along the street. And I think they've made that openly available on a website. So if you live there, you can go and have a look to see if there's street parking available. And what they're also doing is having the sensors turn the lights on and off. So at night, if there's nobody walking around, the street lights can be off. Whereas if there are people walking around or cars are going down the street, they can turn the lights on.
Yeah, I've heard about a few cities doing something like that with streetlights, just for sustainability reasons.
Yeah.
I think Boston did something similar with traffic and parking data. They're doing a few things to become a smart city, but in 2013, they started offering real-time parking data, and they put sensors in the ground to detect open parking spaces, and you can use an app to see that information and figure out where to go park.
In Louisville, I think they sent out 1,000 inhalers for people with asthma that were equipped with a sensor so that they would be able to work out when people are using their inhalers to try and work out which areas of the city had poor air quality. And then they were able to find that there was one area, I think, where people were using their inhalers a lot. So they ended up planting trees because it was by a congested road to try and separate where the people were walking to reduce particulate matter in the air.
On the tech side, smart cities need to leverage a lot of different kinds of data and artificial intelligence and analytics, like we said, to make decisions and respond to what's happening in real time. So a few of the key challenges involved are things like managing a lot of data that's coming in from all over the place, most of it with a geolocation, and then being able to connect that and integrate it all together. Creating a portal that the government and citizens can use is another challenge for distributing and uploading data. And an open data portal, of course, has its own set of challenges around ensuring you make data available in various formats and then hosting it properly. And then analyzing the data, getting meaning from it. And finally, real-time workflows, like triggering a data upload when something significant happens and sending notifications automatically. People are solving a lot of these challenges using FME, so integrating and transforming all of the data with an FME workspace and then uploading that to FME Cloud to do the automation and host data portals.
So I think a lot of things like sensors will often send information as XML, JSON, or CSV, which FME Server or FME Cloud can then read in and then restart a process off based on those incoming messages. You could upload any kind of format that FME can support and also process. But if you're looking at more real-time sensor information, that'll probably be XML, JSON, or CSV. We've talked about little bits quite a bit. So that's an example of a sensor. And we were just sending that information back to FME Server, which would be the same as like the Internet of Things Smart Cities thing, but on a much bigger scale. So we do have a number of customers doing real-time workflows. So I think one of the big ones is the Weather Network. They've got real-time lightning alerts. So they're processing all of this with FME Cloud. They're making this data available for people who need to make decisions. So insurance companies, governments, transportation, public utilities. So that's one example of being smart with their real-time data to help other people make decisions.
I wanted to mention the Iowa Department of Transportation. Mm-hmm. They have sensors to detect how deep water is under bridges, and that data gets uploaded every 15 minutes. So they have an FME workflow that pulls in that feed and then does some data filtering and pushes it as an ArcGIS online service for the public. And then they also integrated with Waze for real-time traffic alerts based on crowdsourced data.
There was a company called 52 Degrees North in Germany that were actually looking at that as well. So combining their water level data and working out where the bridges were, combining that with the ships on their inland waterways as they're tracking, so it'd be able to work out whether it was likely that a ship was going to collide with a bridge. So if it was, it would send a notification to the person driving the ship. You don't drive a ship.
Captaining the ship.
So that they would know to not hit the bridge.
If you go to safe.com and type in smart cities, you can see a couple more examples of presentations from the FME UC 2014. So Virtual City Systems uses FME to perform data transformation tasks for urban planning and urban information modeling. And their goal is to have integrated planning, analysis, and simulation. So they use FME for a bunch of those steps. And then you can also find a presentation by Conterra, who talked about how to make 3D virtual city models in CityGML format.
And then at the FME UC this year, in the hackathon that we did in the evening, we actually had one team look at how they could use FME to manage big data for smart cities. So in their use case, they had 60,000 taxis producing 90 million data records every day, which would be in 2,000 CSV files. And originally they were using FME to process all of this data, but it was taking over 24 hours for it to run. So if you're collecting this every day and it's taking you longer than a day to process it, that's going to end up falling back and back in time. Yeah. They brought this project to the hackathon, and then based on a blog called Think Like a Point Cloud, they processed all of their data in a different way, like a point cloud, which took their processing time way down just to a few hours, I think, instead of over 24 hours.
Yeah, because our point cloud processing with FME is super quick.
Yeah.
And so if you pretend other data is a point cloud and just kind of manipulate that a little bit, you can do your processing way, way faster.
Yeah. And I think we're adding that sort of point cloud technology underneath FME and applying it to more transformers. So gradually more and more transformers in FME will process data faster.
What do you think about smart cities in general? Do you like the idea?
I think at the moment it's hard to tell because I feel like there's not a lot of smart cityness that really impacts me. Some of these benefits are useful.
And there probably will be a bit of pushback because part of it is adding more sensors and cameras and drones to get more data of different types. So there will be pushback there. And I think a lot of people like living more simply in old style cities. And so to have all of this technology bombarding us from every direction.
Privacy is a big concern for a lot of people. And I mean, even though a lot of things collecting our data anonymize it, I think even when I was in university, I read a paper that we do pretty much the same things every day. Like we have habits, even if we change things a little bit, it's still really easy from that anonymized data to piece together kind of who it is. I mean, I think as we go forward, we can't really avoid it.
If you've even got sensors on an asthma inhaler, it's technically not really invasive, but that just seems a little creepy to me. I mean, someone knowing exactly when you're inhaling.
But I mean, it's useful.
Yeah.
And if they plant trees and then suddenly you don't need it as often.
Yeah. I really like the idea of smart cities because it connects everyone more and makes a city more of a community. Like the focus is on connectivity and transparency between government and citizens. Like humanity has evolved a lot from living in caves, but we're still social creatures. And I think we need that feeling of community to be happy. So I like that this is making us more connected again. And even with things like Uber and Airbnb and the meal delivery services and bike shares, like now we're opening that sort of idea of information exchange and sharing and putting it into open data portals and stuff. So I think it's making cities more unified. So I think we're all going to be happier for it.
I think it'll just take a long time as more cities start to adopt this, and obviously they've got a lot more data and sensors they need to collect from. So I think as time goes on, we'll see more benefits as citizens.
Yeah. Thank you for listening. To find resources about this podcast, go to safe.com and in the search bar at the top, type in Smart Cities.